Earth and Sky.
Welcome, I'm Joel Block. Today we're speaking with climate scientist Michael Mann of Pennsylvania State University. Dr. Mann is well known for his work in paleoclimate. That's the study of climate over the entire history of the Earth. His work led to the famous hockey stick graph, where temperatures are seen to climb rapidly in modern times. Earth and Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke to Michael Mann about global warming, about whether Americans are ready to accept the reality of it in light of the recent report by the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Hundreds of scientists in 130 countries working under the auspices of the United Nations. Toward the end of the interview, Patterson and Mann also talk about paleoclimate and the hockey stick graph. At the end, Mann speaks of what he calls disinformation about global warming, which has created doubt about global warming in the public's mind, when all the time the bulk of scientific evidence has pointed to a world that's getting warmer, and to human beings as being a large part of the cause. Here's Lindsay Patterson speaking with Dr. Michael Mann.
Do you think at this point that the public is ready to accept human-caused global warming as a fact?
Well, I think the public, by and large, does accept the science. If some of the public polls that have been done are any indication sort of where that stands at present. And that's despite the fact that there have been some concerted efforts to sort of cloud the debate with spurious arguments by those who perhaps believe they don't stand to gain by the acceptance of the science. And so that's unfortunate, and I think that's held back the public acceptance of the science for some time here in the U.S. If you talk to folks in Europe or many other parts of the world, you find that the public's perception of the issue is much more in line with what the science actually has to say. Whereas here in the U.S., it's lagged behind the science. I mean, the science was pretty definitive even 5 years ago when the last IPCC report was released. And yet the public at that time, I think, there was a fair amount of confusion and sort of lack of acceptance of the science, you know, even at that point 5 or 6 years ago. Why have things changed? Well, I think to some extent we're starting to see sort of anomalous seasonal climate variations that to most ordinary folks sort of feel out of line with what the sort of variability that we're used to. There was, of course, the dramatic heat wave in Europe a couple summers ago, which led to some of the highest temperatures over a several-week period that had been observed for many centuries in part of Europe. Let's take the United States. Last winter was an unusually warm winter. It was followed by one of the warmest summers on record for the United States, and then followed again, at least for the first half of the winter, by what was shaping up to be another very anomalously warm winter. And so when all the data was averaged together by the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, they found, and this was released just a few weeks ago, they found that 2006 was indeed the warmest year on record for the United States. So to some extent, we are starting to feel climate change in the United States. And I think that that has had a significant influence on the public's perception, on the way that the media, journalists sort of deal with the issue of climate change, which in turn has helped now that the media in the U.S. seem to be getting out of this pattern that we were used to seeing, where there was sort of this feeling that every time a scientist was interviewed who would talk about the fact that we are observing human influence on climate, we're observing human-induced climate change, there was often this feeling that there had to be another voice on the other side, even though there was a very small number of relatively shrill voices from contrarians, and the overwhelming majority of the scientific community did believe the science to be quite solid on this. I think that the media has gotten out of that sort of pattern, or a lot of journalists have gotten out of that pattern, and that's helped to improve the public discourse on the science.
Well, do you think that this change in public perception is likely to motivate people now to do things differently? What action do you think will be taken by the public and the people who make its policy?
When we start to talk about policy and decision-making, I have to preface my answer by stating that here I'm sort of venturing outside of my particular range of expertise, which is on the science. But as an individual and as a citizen, I have views, just like all of us have, about sort of the issues of policy and how we translate the science, what the science is telling us, into making public policy that's responsible and addresses the issues. I think that there has been some movement on that front. I think what we've seen over the past year or two is that politicians in the United States, on both sides of the aisle, Democrats as well as Republicans, there have been joint efforts among Democrats and Republicans in the House of Congress to try to move the policy discussion forward. As we many of us heard last week, the president put some somewhat detailed policy suggestions forward as to how to deal with increasing greenhouse gas emissions. And I think that discussion is starting to move forward now, and I think we'll probably see a lot of action on this in this current Congress.
So how are you, in the work that you've been doing, seeing the effects of global warming?
Well, we're seeing it in a number of ways. As I alluded to, even at the scale of just, you know, the United States, which is a small fraction of the globe, and if you're looking at a small fraction of the globe, it's often the case that sort of the noise, the natural variability, sort of swamps the global warming signal that we're talking about. The smaller the region, the more likely that's to be the case. When we average observations over the entire globe, that's where we can really see that global warming signal standing out. Well, it's now gotten to the point where the signal is strong enough that we are, I believe, seeing it emerge at continental scales, at regional scales. The fact that 2006 was the warmest year on record for North America, I don't think that was a coincidence. I think it's telling us we're starting to see that signal emerge. Now, when we start talking about individual events, that's where meteorological events or any one individual season, that's where it gets a little bit more tricky, because at those time scales, there's a lot of random variability, a lot of noise in the system. You can think of it as the weather is like rolling the dice. It's just sort of a random pattern. And what climate change is doing, in essence, is loading those dice towards certain values, making, you know, a 6 more likely to come up than it normally would be. So we're sort of seeing those 6s, those high values, high temperatures in the winter and the summer in many regions. We're starting to see those sort of anomalous warm events appearing more often than they used to. And when we start looking over several seasons and see that sort of pattern emerge, we can start to conclude that we really are seeing the influence of climate change.
So do you expect that the new IPCC report will revise the hockey stick graph that became so controversial?
There actually have been more than a dozen studies since the last IPCC report that have produced essentially the same result. Every single reconstruction now that's been performed and every model simulation that's been performed shows the late 20th century warmth at the scale of the Northern Hemisphere or the globe to be unprecedented in at least 1,000 years. So in fact, that conclusion has been heavily bolstered by the numerous independent studies that have been produced since the third assessment report. And despite the public controversy and the fact that some politicians and some contrarians affiliated with special interests have tried to create a controversy about that graphic. In fact, if you look at the actual science that's been done, that appears to be a very robust conclusion. And even though I'm not a co-author on the report, I would be willing to conclude that when the report is issued, it will essentially draw that conclusion, that that, in fact, appears to be a fairly robust finding. But let me stress that paleoclimate reconstructions like that are only one of numerous independent lines of evidence for the fact that humans are changing the climate. And so we shouldn't allow, again, a manufactured controversy about one line of evidence, these paleoclimate reconstructions, to cloud the fact that every piece of evidence that we have, essentially, is pointing in the same direction, that humans are influencing the climate primarily through increased greenhouse gas concentrations and based on the models that we use to predict future changes. We can expect much greater changes ahead. We've really only just started to head down that road.
So what do you expect that the reaction to the IPCC report is going to be like this time around?
Well, you know, unfortunately, as you're probably aware, there are a number of so-called organizations. A lot of them, their funding can be traced back to the same fossil fuel corporations. And these organizations, or quote-unquote organizations, they're often not much more than a P.O. box and an individual or two who are behind them. You know, they have been paid money to manufacture false controversy. They've been doing that for years. That has been a particularly profound influence here in the United States. And that'll probably continue to go on for some time further. You know, I'm pleased, and many of us are pleased, to see that ExxonMobil has announced that they are no longer going to provide funding for many of these organizations that they were providing to manufacture this false controversy. And this was actually detailed in an extensive report by the Union of Concerned Scientists that was issued about a month ago, where they detailed all the various ways that that unfortunately ExxonMobil had been funding this effort to cloud the public understanding of the science. Well, it looks like they're backing away from that now. But I don't think that that means that we're not going to see some efforts of that sort again, even with this next IPCC report. So we shouldn't be surprised that there will be some talking heads out there, probably most of them financed by industry, to try to confuse the public's understanding of the report, to try to raise false criticisms of the conclusions that have been drawn. We're going to see some of that. There's no question. And it's important for us to keep in mind that we're probably seeing the last gasps of this sort of disinformation effort that I think is probably in its tail end now that the science just has become ever more strong as time has gone on.
Great. Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, Dr. Mann. Come to Earth and Sky's website to tell us your views about global warming.
We're at earthsky.org.